Okay, what is your name?
John Kuchenecker.
Okay, and how old are you?
93.
And do you know what day is it?
February 1st. I was born 1925.
Okay.
I
am Savannah, and Grace will be helping interview, and my mom, and yeah, we're the Kenzies.
Today's date is
February 25th, 2018. Okay, so, do you want to start telling us about it, or should I start with a question?
How about where were you drafted, or did you enlist?
I enlisted.
Okay, and then when you were joining, how did you feel about joining? Like, were you excited? What went on in your head?
What made you decide to join?
Patriotic.
So he was patriotic. And girls, that means that he felt it really important to serve his country and to fight for the freedoms that we have. When you joined, what was the year you joined?
November 1942.
1942. So the war had already been going since 1939?
No. Since, well, Pearl Harbor was 41, December 41, and I joined in
42,
about 9 months after Pearl Harbor.
But you were only 17 years old, too.
Yeah, so you were 17 years old, and
I had to have my parents' dad's permit. He had to sign papers that I could go.
Because you had to be how old to enlist?
18.
So Pearl Harbor had already started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pearl Harbor already happened.
Already happened, yeah.
Do you recall your first day?
My what?
Do you, like, remember at all how you felt on your first day?
Oh, I was excited about going.
Mm-hmm. And where did you start?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And what did you do?
I rode a bus for 4 days.
To get there?
To get to San Diego.
Okay.
To Naval Training Station. I joined the Navy.
And what made you decide to join the Navy?
Well, I had a brother-in-law in there, and I'd heard all... Well, Pearl Harbor was... The Navy really got battered then.
Right.
So that's why I thought that...
And Russell Fairchild was your brother-in-law, who kind of... you looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long were you in San Diego? How long was your training?
Let's see, about a month of boot camp, and then 2 months of learning to run landing craft boats.
So yes, that leads us to our next question. What exactly did you do in the Navy?
I was on a transport that landed troops on the islands.
Okay.
Or any place, but I was in the South Pacific all the time.
Okay. And what exactly did you do on the ship?
Run these little boats. And during the invasions, and then after about 18 months, I decided to go in the fire room and work down in the boilers room.
So when you were running the little boats in the invasions, so you were leaving from your big ship, you'd get the military men, the army? Is that who you were working with?
Mostly Marines, but anybody. And we landed on the islands.
Okay, so you would land them, they would get off,
we'd
and then
get 47 men in a boat.
Okay.
And then there would be three Navy guys, the coxswain, the bow hook, and the engineer. And then we would run them up on the beach, drop the ramp, they'd get off, and we'd back out and go out and get another load of men.
How many did you usually do during the day, during a time when you were going to the beach? Like, how many runs did you do?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe like the Aleutian Islands is out 72 hours.
Oh, so it wasn't like it wasn't there a, was the ship that they ship saw you. There. Oh, okay. I never realized that.
Yeah, and you stayed there. Go get your one. Till you get a relief.
Okay.
Like, once it, like I got, I was 72 hours and then got to be on board ship 12 hours and then went back out. And I don't know, we stayed up there a couple of weeks. Attu was our first invasion.
Attu? Mm-hmm. How do you spell
in
that?
In the Aleutian Islands. A-T-T-U. It's in the Aleutian Islands. Oh. Japanese had started to take Alaska and they were coming. They'd already landed and taken Attu and then Kiska.
So
after we took Attu from them, maybe I'm talking too fast.
No, you're good.
After
the
battle
of about that boat episode.
Attu, we thought we was going to have to go to Kiska, and we did go to Kiska. That was the next big place the Japanese were, but when we got there, they had evacuated.
And why did they?
They knew they were going to get beat.
How do you spell Akiska?
K-I-S-K-A.
K-A. So you went to Kiska, but the Japanese had
left.
Okay.
That was in the Aleutian Islands,
Were most of the Japanese, do you think, on board with the idea of taking over, or do you think most of them were forced to enlist?
No, they were dedicated to taking over the world.
Okay.
Them and Hitler, they joined together.
So when you were in that first battle, did you see actually action happening, or were you, such as like the fighting and were there airs?
Not too much there.
Okay.
We brought casualties back to the ship.
And that was part of your job as well?
Oh, yeah.
So you would pick up casualties.
Our ship, there was only four transports up there, and our ship was a designated hospital ship.
Okay. And they had probably doctors on board?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What were you ranked?
Tell them about the ships, the alert.
Oh, no, we don't get into all of that. What was my rank?
Yeah.
I went in as a seaman, second class, and then you get to be automatically seaman first class. And then you gotta work up from there.
Okay.
And I ended up as a water tender, which is working in the fire room, running boilers. We're keeping the ship going, steam as a water tender, second class.
Okay.
And how many battles had you been in before you decided to do the boilers?
About three.
Okay, so after Kiska, what did you do?
Tarawa.
How do you spell that?
T-A-R. Let's see.
A-W-A.
Yeah, A-W-A.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was the worst one I was in. It took 4 days to take the island. The island was a mile long and a half a mile wide, quarter of a mile wide. And there was 4,000 Japs, 4,080 or something on there. And on our ship, we took the casualties back to Honolulu, and we took 13 prisoners. Was all that was taken out of the 4,000.
Because they had all died?
They all got killed.
Wow, that's terrible.
And we lost, I brought that book along to tell us exactly lost 900 men in 21. Were wounded.
Jeez.
Emma, Grandpa, where's the
and woman? You had to transport them. You guys had to take care of them on
well,
your ship?
Bring them back to the ship, unload them.
In the ship.
And this was just a Tarawa.
And then you went to Honolulu.
Yeah, we took the prisoner, the wounded back and and then there were 13 prisoners that they'd taken, and we had
survivors.
Them on our ship.
And what did they do with the survivors?
What did who do with them?
What did the Americans do with the 13 Japanese?
Prisoners of war.
Okay, and what is, what?
I don't know, we dropped them off at Hilo, Hawaii.
Okay.
But they were treated good.
Good.
On our ship, anyway.
How long did it take your ship to get from
Tarawa
to Honolulu?
Oh, I suppose 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Were you injured in any of your, like, in any of the fights or battles?
Was that fight? Injured?
Injured?
No.
No?
Okay. Lucky.
Were Navy men and women, there probably weren't women back then, huh? Were Navy men injured often, or was that?
I think we had 13 on our ship and landing the first voyage.
That were injured.
They were injured, or they were injured.
Uh-huh.
Or hit.
How many Navy men were part of your ship? Like on your ship, how many did you generally have that were?
Oh, our ship's crew was 550. And there was probably, let's see, there would be 20 boats and three men, would be 60, and probably 100 in a boat division.
Okay. 60 men. And how long did you say you were usually out when you were out? Or did it vary?
It varied.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. That would just happen. It was one of the first invasions. We weren't, well, we hit rough water up there in the Bering Sea. And they'd moved, they'd landed 300 troops with submarines for a beachhead. And they advanced on in shore, and the Japs pinned them down on the side of a hill, and it was 4 days before we could land. The water was so rough.
Oh, and you were wanting to land to do what?
We were supposed to land the next morning, or, you know.
To bring the more servicemen to help the guys fighting.
Yeah.
Okay.
They froze their feet and...
Because it was so cold?
Oh, yeah. And they had rubber boots on instead of leather. And we learned a lot about fighting the first part of the war.
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
And they brought them, we'd bring them back aboard ship, and they'd have to amputate some of their feet.
Jeez.
You haven't told them about your Higgins boat yet, have you?
What about it?
Well, how you land on the troops.
Oh, yeah, you just run up on the beach, like, say, the beach is out of, you run up on the beach till you hit ground, till you can't go any further, just as far as, wide open, as far as you can go. And you got 46 men in there, and then you drop the raft and they get off, so your boat raises up a little when they get off. You wind up the ramp again after they're off, and then every fourth wave that comes in, ocean wave is higher, maybe you know that, from being down on the beaches. And that'll raise your boat up and you back off, dip out and go back out the ship and get another load. That's what the Higgins boats took, supplies, brought the casualties back. And
did the Japanese, or actually, was it, did the Americans torture the people that they captured, or was it mainly the opponents?
Mainly. Yeah, we weren't, I don't think they were, after they got on the ship, they were safe. But I think that probably after seeing your buddies killed, some of them probably never got back to the beach. Just, I don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Right. And then going back to what you were just saying, when the ship goes back out, what were some of the supplies you would bring?
Well, ammunition, stretchers, medical supplies, food, whatever they needed.
Okay.
Were your ships targeted then often?
Oh yeah, that's why we stayed out.
John,
what?
Tell them how those guys had to get to shore.
Well, yeah, if you hit the ground, you could never run way up on the beach like you do now, because the ship, your boat would be heavy. So when you drop the ramp, they usually had to wade from here to Second Street or to Main or something out in the open.
So
that's when a lot of them got killed.
Oh.
So there were people waiting?
The enemy would be shooting at it all the time.
So as they went on to the beach, as close as they could get, they couldn't get on the beach. They'd lower
the ramp.
And the soldiers would go off, but they were in water,
yeah.
Probably up to their chest.
Well, yeah.
And then they'd have to go through the open water. Open means they're totally exposed.
Mm-hmm. Holding their rifles up.
Yeah, probably their packs or their rifles and ammunitions up. But then that makes them easy targets. So did you see that?
Oh, yes.
So Grandpa would just witness the people that he just brought to help fight that battle die right there in the ocean.
And when you saw them die, would you ever pick up their bodies, or would you just...
Well, if it was possible, you would, but a lot of times you couldn't. But, you know, all the invasions weren't that bad either, every one. Sometimes you could surprise them at, one of the islands. The whole fleet went around this side of the island, and so the Japanese come over there, figuring we're going to land there. And then we loaded our little boats back up, went around to the other side. And by the time they got everything moved back over, we'd have got a beachhead for them. And then we'd have a place to dump ammunition and more men.
And kind of set up and prepare.
I didn't have nothing to do with that, but the generals, the admirals.
Right.
They had it figured out.
Right. And in the meantime, there were people back here in the United States who were cracking the code of where was going to be the next invasion or what was going to be happening. So a lot of times, you know, the allies would know ahead of time where they were going to be.
Yeah.
And would outsmart them because they had so many people over here. A lot of women were doing that, actually, because the men were over fighting. And they would crack the code of what was going to be.
Indian.
Yeah, a lot of Native Americans.
Did you?
We used the Native American language.
Oh, you did? How did you?
To send codes.
So then people couldn't hack in and listen?
Oh, because nobody could.
Well, that's fascinating. So.
So do you speak Lakotan then? Or
no.
Is it just other people?
I had nothing to do with that.
No, we're just saying in general.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Maybe he picked up some.
No. Yeah, I read.
Owl.
Lakota. Yeah, I knew you. I knew you guys used the native language because I read it in something called Scholastic News.
Okay, and
Were many of your friends enlisted? Like, was it a big thing, like everybody wanted to, or was it just kind of more like...
No, everybody was pretty patriotic.
Okay.
And if you had to sign up, and they rated you like 4F or 1F or...
And what did that mean?
Well, it means, I think 4F, you got to stay home.
Because you're not...
Because maybe your parents were invalids or they needed you on the farm.
Are they physically
dead? A lot of farmers got, the men got to be 4F. And that way they didn't have to go to war.
And,
Maybe they wanted to go, but they were needed at home.
Did they, did you by any chance, like, hear about women who snuck in at all, or?
No, they didn't have many women. They had nurses.
Nurses, yeah. Okay.
Tell us about a couple of your most memorable experiences, if you want.
On Liberty or?
Anything.
Oh, yeah. Well.
No, I think Tarawa was the worst place I was in. The Marshall Islands.
I read about the Marshall Islands. Will you tell us about that?
Well, we landed. What we'd do is land and they'd take this island. And then a big ship would come in, a big transport with maybe 5,000 men. We only carried 1,500 soldiers and Marines. And then the big ship would come in and we'd take say they were soldiers, we'd take them to the beach and bring a load of Marines back to our ship. And maybe the next day or 2 days later, we'd take these Marines and land on another island up 25 miles on up the atoll.
And you were having to take them because that was just too big to get in? Because the big, huge one that...
Yeah, they didn't have any boats.
Okay.
They didn't have landing craft. So we'd use... And then on a lot of the islands, we'd leave our boats if we were coming back to the States or going to Pearl Harbor. Leave our little boats there. And the crew, I thought I was going to have to stay on Tarawa. And I thought I was going to have to stay at that too, because they issued me Army uniforms up there in Attu, so you wouldn't look like the Japanese wouldn't try to pick off the sailors. You'd just look like another soldier.
And why would that make a difference to the Japanese if they were just trying to take over?
If they could knock out the guy running the boat.
Okay.
But I never had to stay, but somebody did. Somebody did. But I thought sure I was going to have to stay at Chihuahua. But the last minute, I got called aboard and another boat crew went out.
Can you imagine what a stinking mess that'd be?
Yes.
4,000 casualties on it.
I can't.
On a mile of island and half a mile wide.
I can't.
Quarter of a mile wide.
I can't even imagine. Horrific. Let's see.
Grace, do you have any questions?
Anyway, I ended up going to about, I think I got 7 stars, 7 different invasions.
Is that what the stars are?
Mm-hmm. Strong star for invasion.
Super battle.
Did you get any, really special award or... No.
So 7 invasions, and you were in there for how long?
Well, from 42 to 46, February of 46, I got out.
Oh, so for 4 years.
Well, really only 39 months. I went in November of 42 and got out in February of 46.
That's a lot.
I was on the ship about
Did you keep a personal diary?
No.
What did you think of officers or fellow soldiers?
Oh, respected.
Yeah. Did you have things with you, like photographs or memorabilia?
She carried hers out.
Did you? Were you two able to write to each other?
Yeah, but I never knew where he was during the war.
Because he couldn't.
Might be 6 weeks between mail.
So you'd send your letters to a San Francisco or to a station.
Yeah.
And then they'd airlift them to...
Naval, what was it? The Naval Post Office. And then they would send it out to the ships.
And
if
you,
it was possible, they didn't mail every day.
And you wouldn't be able to tell her where you were because then the
enemy might pick up.
Okay.
No, they
years
never.
Ago, they used to have a newsreel before the we weren't nearly as advanced as we are now, so the news would come out in a reel before a show started, like. And anyway, I was in the theater in Phillip, South Dakota, and here they showed the newsreel of, they didn't say where they were, but here that these sailors were carrying the injured back to their ship on a gangplank.
Well, there was another, I saw it too when I got back to the States. There was a destroyer brought some. We were in what they call Massacre Bay, and then Holtz Bay was on the other side, and a destroyer brought casualties over to our ship, because we were the main hospital ship up there. And they pulled alongside, and then there was, they dropped a...
injured off.
Onto your ship.
Onto our ship, so you could walk across.
And anyway, I had no idea where he was, but I saw a kook on his back, written on his back.
Did you really?
Yeah, he was backing up. And the one that backed up.
Oh, it's not carrying somebody across.
And I screamed bloody murder in the theater.
Because you were so happy that you saw him.
I'd
that
like to get
months.
That newsreel somewhere.
Oh, the, yeah.
It'd be in our cave somewhere.
You wouldn't know where he was for months.
Right, that would be interesting. I wonder how we could get that newsreel. We should look into that.
It would be something, because I got my name. Your name, they stenciled your name on the back, but mine was so long, I just had KUCH.
Oh, really?
So,
but I recognized it right away. But I hope you're not recording all of this, are you?
Yeah. Oh. But that's okay. I mean, this is what it was like, all facets of it. Mm-hmm. Like, what was it like on the ship for you? Like, mm-hmm. what Grace's question. Grace, you have a question.
How did they entertain themselves?
What did you do, you know, before you had your next mission and you'd be traveling for days. What were some of the things you did on the ship?
Chip paint and kept it clean.
Oh, you did. So you were still working.
Oh, you worked 8 hours.
Yeah.
You did something and it might not. But now after I got down in the fire room, you had watches. You worked down there in the fire room.
Mm-hmm.
You'd work if you had, you'd have say 4 on and 8 off or 4 on and 12 off. And then if it fell in the daytime, you'd have to go down there and clean and keep everything shiny. You know?
Right.
What?
So when you were working in the boiler room, like what did you have to do exactly?
Oh, that was the main part of it. We made all our steam. Was that the duck?
He wants in, but I'm not going to let him in.
You know, the steam furnace for the engines and everything. So it was pretty important. When the captain up above would want to go forward full speed, they'd just ring a bell and down the fire room, you had to make that right now.
And so you were like putting coal or what kind of?
We had oil.
Oh,
had 4 boilers with 6 burners in each one. The blasted
What was a regular meal for you?
A regular meal? Well, we had, I couldn't tell you what we called it, but we had chipped beef on toast, and then we had hamburger on toast, and the potatoes, they'd fix a dish pan full of potatoes, and they'd feed 2,100 people because everybody don't want potatoes because they were dehydrated and smelled terrible.
So what, did you get any fresh fruits or vegetables?
Only when we got back to the States or Honolulu.
I bet that was kind of hard.
Ooh, that was great when we got that.
Well, I'm saying hard to be.
The same way with milk. They just drink all the milk you want.
Right, but I'm saying it would have been hard to be on the ship and have the same thing and not anything fresh.
Oh, that's the way it was every day for 4 months.
Oh, my gosh.
We'd have
it. Did you notice a difference in how you felt? Like your health or your teeth or anything like that?
Well, I didn't have I didn't have it. My teeth were perfect when I went in, and when I got out, I got them pulled.
Really?
Well, not right away.
But shortly after.
3 or 4 years.
How many meals did you have, the regular amount of meals a day? Or?
3 meals a day. We were so much luckier than a lot of, you know. Mm-hmm. We always had our meal.
So we have 13 minutes left, so you might want to.
That's okay. It's doing good. Let's see. Do you recall the day your service ended?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Chicago, 17th of February.
And what did you do?
Headed for home.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Well, your dad died.
My dad died the 1st of February, so I got an emergency leave. They weren't going to give it to me because I was waiting to get discharged. When I got off the ship in December, I got home, I got them talked into a leave so I could be home for Christmas. And when I got my papers, I had to be in Minneapolis at 25th of December, which was
kind of ridiculous.
So Gladys went with me because I thought I was going to be discharged in Minneapolis. And I thought, well, it would only take 2 or 3 days. So she went with me, and Joyce was living there then. And anyway, when I got there, water tenders, this rate that I was, that worked in the fire room, anybody that was a water tender or a fireman, they quit releasing them because they needed them to run the ships coming home, bringing troops back. So I got there, and thinking I was going to get discharged, they sent me to Chicago. And so I stayed there. And then February, my dad passed away. So I got to come home for that, then went back to Chicago.
And when did your dad die?
February, around the 1st. I don't remember.
And you weren't supposed to be released until when?
Well, I was waiting for a call, and that's why they didn't want me to come home. And I said, well, I'm going home to my dad's funeral. So they finally let me go. And I got back the 15th of February to Chicago, and the 17th I got discharged.
Oh my gosh.
They could have.
Saved a lot of money.
How did you feel once you realized that you didn't have to go back?
Great. So good. I married your grandma in 2 weeks.
Aww.
Second of March, we were married.
How did you feel once you saw her after how long it had been?
Oh, I was in love with her.
You thought he was.
And you had to go back by then, right? Because you were in Minneapolis and you were teaching school.
I was teaching school, but I went because I was on Christmas vacation. So I had to come back and start teaching school.
Okay. So you, did you know that he was being discharged?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about the day you got back home.
Well, when my dad died, I'd bought some cows and stuff. He made arrangements for a loan for me. And so the neighbor was taking care of my cattle and stuff. And we just took care of that. And then a couple of weeks later, on a Saturday, we come to Rapid City and got married. Went to Beulah, Wyoming to a dance. And stayed overnight in Spearfish. Off the train back to Philip the next Sunday.
But when he came home with an old 36 Plymouth, which really was only 10 years old. But tires were rationed at that time. You had to have a stamp to get tires. You had to food stamps, or you had to have a stamp to buy coffee. You had to have a stamp to buy sugar. But anyway, the tires on that were terrible. And on the way to town, he picked me up after school, and we had a flat tire out there about 3 miles north of Philip, and no spare.
This was the day he got home, or just shortly
after? No, the day we went
to get married.
Oh, okay.
Friday night.
I didn't have a spare.
He didn't have a spare. And so somebody came along and gave us a ride to town, and we caught the train. And when we came back, somebody had rummaged up a tire someplace. You used implement tires on the car because you couldn't buy car tires. And the car was waiting for us at the depot in Philip.
Oh, so do you know who did that?
Yeah, it was Slavic.
Earl Slavic, a neighbor out there where he lived.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you by any chance when you were... And you, when you were dropping off men, did you see, any of the higher generals or leaders of the...
I saw MacArthur come back to the Philippines, probably from here to that house over there, on another, not on our boat, but he had a big to-do when he returned, because when he left, he said, "I will return." And he did.
And he was
and
good?
Tell us who MacArthur was.
Where's Max?
He's
watching the show.
He landed in Leyte, the Philippines. The capital of Leyte is Tacloban.
Who was MacArthur?
MacArthur was a general over all the army.
Oh, wow.
And they'd run him out of the Philippines back in 1941. Corregidor and Death March that they went on.
That's neat. So then after you got back, tell us the exact date you got back. What did you, not the date, but when you got to Philip, what was the first thing you did? Do you remember? Didn't you go to the classroom and Grandma shut down school for the day or something?
No, that was my first leave.
Oh, it was. Okay. I always liked that story. I thought that was cute.
Some kids home.
Grandma. Grandpa came home from leave, and Grandma was so excited to see him, she sent the kids home early from school.
I didn't know he was coming because of communication.
No,
and everything was hush-hush. So I was teaching, and I looked out the window and saw him walking across the schoolyard. He'd parked a car on the outside, and I was pretty excited.
Do you think your military experience influenced your thinking about war or about military in general?
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. We shouldn't be in it if we... But everything is going along pretty good. Just we don't need another war, a world war.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need any wars, but... We're going to have them. They've had them for, since Christ was, before that. So I suppose we'll always have some, but I sure don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hope we get you along.
Did you befriend some particular friends from your time in the service that you continue to be in touch with?
Oh, yeah. We went to ship's reunions for how long?
About 10 years.
10 years or so.
I remember your ship reunions.
Yeah, you sang at it.
We sang at it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when it, you really...
You're down to six now.
Six surviving men. From how many to begin with?
Well, the ship was 500 crew, but you know, there's some of them never went to reunions, I suppose. But
right.
Can't be too many left because I was pretty young at 17.
Right. You were probably one of the younger ones
there.
Mm-hmm. You really know when you go to a ship's reunion the sorrow of war. When you see they get together and start relating incidents or experiences they've had, when you see grown men, stop.
Right. Girls, listen, we have 4 minutes. It's a long time. It seems like it's not, but it is. Yeah, that is powerful, and you never probably forget what you saw. Yeah, I can't imagine. Is there anything else that we haven't covered in this interview?
I don't think so.
That you want to share? Mm-hmm. I think Savannah has another question.
Okay. Actually, I kind of forgot it. You can say one more.
Grace, go ahead. Oh, no, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead, Savannah. Did you think of it?
No.
Let's see. Are you in any veterans organizations?
Oh, yeah. American Legion, VFW.
You're a lifetime member of the... Show them the picture of the Higgins boat, John, so they have...
Well, I didn't bring that one along.
There's a picture in there, though, isn't there?
Huh?
So they have some idea of what that's like.
Okay, we have one last question before you show us, since we are on a timer. Go ahead.
How did your service and experiences after affect your life?
Affect my life?
Your life.
Life?
Yeah. So how did your service and experiences affect your life?
I think it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Proud.
And it probably gave you a different perspective on humanity. I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the value of life.
Yeah.
And do you think it probably allowed you to learn how to work through, like, in the grand scheme of life, learn how to communicate rather than rush into things so quickly?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then for the last question, if you could go back, would you have enlisted yourself or would you have not enlisted yourself in the war?
Oh, yes, I would have done same thing.
Because of the pride? And were there other reasons why that you would have redone it to learn lessons or?
Well, just to protect our country.
Yeah, it's patriotism, but also there were some really bad people doing some really bad things, and we needed to protect humanity,
mm-hmm.
not even just the United States. We were helping all the countries that were suffering.
Europe and Hitler and those camps over there that they murdered two, 3 million Jews.
6 million.
6 million Jews.
Did you know about that at the time? That was a question we had earlier.
Oh, yeah. We knew that. Well, yeah. Just...
Did you know how horrific it was, though? Like, what had actually was really happening in the concentration camps?
Oh, no. I didn't. We didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. and we appreciate
it. You're more than welcome. I'm not just half the third of the story.
Okay, thank you.